Thank you very much. Look, conference, it's an honour and a pleasure to be addressing you as a Liberal Democrat Member of Parliament, as your Shadow Foreign Secretary. Now, I've been to a few parties, and I hope you don't mind me saying this and sounding immodest to say that when I made the decision to join this party, given my experience so far, this has been one of the best political decisions I've ever made since going into politics. From the bottom of my heart, thank you for making me feel so welcome. I could not be more at home in this Liberal Democrat family. And look, the decision to join was not made out of crude self-interest. If self-interest or climbing the greasy pole is your goal, I would not recommend following my example this year, folks. The truth is, all the incredibly difficult decisions I've made on this journey were rooted in my values and principles. And Luciana's here, Angela's here, Sarah's here. It's the same for them. I joined this party out of conviction. As you know, I'm a Remainer, and I'm proud of it. I think we've spent far too long apologizing for being pro-European in this country. Because look, you cannot be pro-Britain and put our national interests first without seeking to put Britain at the heart of Europe. That's the fact of it. But even more importantly, I'm a Social Democrat with liberal values. You see, to be a Remainer is not only to be an advocate of our continued membership of the European Union. It is to hold a set of liberal internationalist values of which we Liberal Democrats are the champions and defenders in Britain. And you know, you might remember that in an attempt to smear those of us who have an internationalist outlook, Theresa May said, "If you believe you're a citizen of the world, you're a citizen of nowhere." What utter garbage. We are citizens of the world, and just you watch. At the next general election, you will see Liberal Democrats taking seats from the Tories in every part of the country because so many people are flocking to us, the biggest and strongest Remain party in Britain today. And be in no doubt, this is the battle of our time, and it goes far beyond Britain's borders. Our party exists to build and defend a fair, free, and open society. A society in which we seek to balance the fundamental values of liberty, equality, and community, and in which no one shall be enslaved by poverty, ignorance, or conformity. That was taken straight from the Constitution, by the way. I've done my homework. But in essence, the society we seek to build is one in which if you work hard and play by the rules, you should be free to lead a happy life, free from the domination of either the state or the market. And we want to ensure that future generations can do the same by preserving our planet for the long-term continuity of life in all its forms. Now, I grew up in a world where we took these values for granted. As a family of mixed heritage, English, Irish, and Nigerian, our backstory, alongside that of millions of other families, stands as an example of Britain's liberal, open, internationalist spirit. The notion that we should all share the same basic rights and should live together in peace regardless of background is something we will always fight for in this party. That different cultures should be able to develop freely and that there is diversity in modern Britain. Look, this isn't something we tolerate, it's something we positively celebrate in the Liberal Democrats. And whatever the political complexion, We will always demand our governments respect the rule of law with an independent judiciary able to uphold those laws free from the abuse and attack by the executive. This is the Britain we know and love. And Boris Johnson, Nigel Farage, and the peddlers of hate and division in our country better know that that is what we are going to fight for this coming election. Because, friends, it is our job to make sure this country's heart beats in a liberal and internationalist direction. Not the nationalism, not the populism, not the authoritarianism that we see parroted. This is the new fault line in British politics, and this party knows where it stands on all of them. Because we recognise that these things cannot be achieved in isolation, and that the pursuit of individual and social justice doesn't stop at the border. We seek to work together with other liberal democracies who share our values to overcome the cross-border obstacles to achieving our goals. That's what we do. As Ming Campbell, Ming's here actually, where is Ming? There he is. As Ming said at our conference in 2005, in an inevitably interdependent world, cooperation is not only in our interests, it's essential to our survival. And the best way to protect British interests, he argued, was strong and effective multilateralism. He was right then, and he is still now. That is why we are internationalists. That is why we are pro-European. Liberalism is needed at home to protect personal freedom and liberty. But liberalism and cooperation is also needed abroad to secure peace, promote democracy, and defend human rights. If we are elected, we will fight poverty. We will fight oppression. We will fight hunger, ignorance, disease, and aggression wherever they occur. And we will seek to promote the free movement of ideas, people, goods, and services. Conference, there's no room for constructive ambiguity on any of this. So we support the liberal international rule-based order established in the wake of the Second World War, which has underpinned democracy across the globe and guarded against authoritarianism and oppression. The Atlantic Charter of 1941, of which the UK was a signatory, set out the framework for this order, its aims and its values. With the memory of fascism and the threat of communism, collective security was paramount, and a robust national defence, married to a passionate commitment to social and global justice, was the goal. Under the Charter, all countries would have the right to self-determination, all people the right to freedom of speech, of expression, of religion, and freedom from want and fear. The rule of law would be promoted. And this, of course, struck a chord with President Roosevelt's New Deal, where nations would collaborate to improve labour standards, economic advancements, and social security for all. And all of that led to the international institutions which facilitate the multilateralism which is essential to maintaining this rules-based order today. The United Nations, the World Trade Organization, the IMF, the World Bank, and of course NATO to defend our democracies. In fact, it was in the 1940s that the Liberals were the first UK political party to vote in favour of a European Union. And the EU, once it came into being, evolved to become not only an important linchpin of this order on the continent, but it expanded this order to cover Central and Eastern European states too. In government, we will seek to maximise British influence in all of these institutions and play the most active possible role, because as Liberals, we believe we've got to put our values into action. There'll be no standing back. We're going to be active. And there is no better example of this than the late, great Paddy Ashdown, whose life and achievements we remember and honour this week. As the first High Representative in Bosnia, Paddy pulled together multilateral resources and created the political will to push ahead with political reforms. In a lesson that still rings true today, Paddy often liked to say that if the international community is united, there is absolutely nothing we cannot do in the Balkans. But if the international community is divided, there is absolutely nothing we can do in the Balkans. Of course, the first thing we will do in government is revoke Article 50 so that once again the British people can resume their role of providing leadership as a full and active member of the European Union. Now, this order is not perfect, it's imperfect, and it must do a far better job at reducing inequality, fostering a more inclusive global economic system. But however flawed it may be, this liberal international order has nonetheless created peace and prosperity. It helped transform states which had been aggressive autocracies, Germany and Japan, into liberal democracies. The trade it has opened up between countries has helped ensure global competition no longer results in military conflict. In turn, this has helped lift hundreds of millions of people out of poverty, and people are more healthy than before. Furthermore, the liberal democracies that fall within this order have in the main also provided better protection of the rights and the civil liberties of their own peoples, and extreme nationalism was forced to retreat. Yet conference, the advances that were made then are now at risk. Today, it is that liberal international order that is now in retreat. And as a result, the world is becoming a more dangerous place. Now, consider what has happened since conference gathered last year. I know I wasn't here, lots of you were. If his attempted travel ban for Muslims and scapegoating of Mexican immigrants was not enough to convince you that far-right politics has entered the White House, we have watched President Trump telling four congresswomen of color to go home. That is racism, pure and simple, and what a disgrace it is. And abroad, he is seeking to pull the US out of the Paris Climate Agreement. He is flouting WTO rules in the pursuit of what he calls fair trade, and he has pulled the US out of the Iran nuclear deal. And then you look at China. In China, we are witnessing violent and repressive scenes in Hong Kong with the disproportionate use of force against the protests, calling into question China's commitment to upholding Hong Kong's way of life and the two systems, one country model, which demands the rule of law, human rights and democracy be observed. Move to Russia. Russia's President Putin has claimed international liberalism is obsolete. And when he made those comments, he also made remarks which amounted to thinly veiled homophobia and suggested that Trump's racist rhetoric was justified given, and these are his words, not mine, immigrants kill, plunder, and rape with impunity, he said. And this, of course, is the man who went into another country, Ukraine, and annexed part of it, Crimea. In Kashmir, the abolition of the region's special status by the Indian government and the unrest and human rights abuses we have seen subsequently in the area should be a cause of alarm around the world. In short, across the world, nationalist populism, this pernicious mantra that nations should be homogenous and one people is superior over another, is making strides. Matteo Salvini and his Northern League dominate Italian politics. Viktor Orban has distorted public life in Hungary to monopolize power there. President Erdogan and President Jair Bolsonaro are undermining democracy in Turkey and Brazil, respectively. So a giant battle is raging between the pluralist, progressive creed of liberal democracy on the one hand and a desiccated authoritarianism on the other. And let us be clear, the Liberal Democrats are the only party that can get into office which is capable of meeting this challenge in Britain today. You see, you cannot defend a liberal rules-based order abroad if you so openly flout the rules at home. And that brings me to Boris Johnson. Boris Johnson has facilitated the takeover of Her Majesty's government by the remnants of the Vote Leave campaign, an outfit that was not only found guilty of lying during the 2016 referendum in relation to its claims on the NHS by the Statistics Authority, but an outfit which was found guilty of cheating and breaking the law by the Electoral Commission. Now, as he seeks to force through this catastrophic no-deal Brexit, the Prime Minister has shut down Parliament and he is threatening to break the law if necessary. You know, the interesting thing about this is the Tory right, who've taken over that party, they like nothing more than to bang on about incarcerating more and more people who break the law. But strangely, they think there should be a different approach to their law breaking. And as he seeks to force the UK out of the EU, he will become, of course, ever reliant on his friend President Trump, whose political playbook he now follows. But President Trump has always been clear. It will be America, not Britain first. And beyond Brexit and cozying up to President Trump, what is the foreign policy of this government? What is their foreign policy strategy? Hands up, who knows? I've got no clue. But what is clear is that we will not see the leadership on the world stage required from the new occupant of number 10. He likes to think of himself as a modern Winston Churchill. And, you know, Churchill, of course, was the Prime Minister who signed the Atlantic Charter I talked about and played a really important role founding the Liberal International Order. What about Boris Johnson? He's been busy kicking out Winston Churchill's relatives from the Tory party. And, well, this brings me to Her Majesty's opposition. I know a bit about the opposition. The Labour Party likes to think of itself as a champion of liberal values at home and abroad. Clement Attlee and Ernest Bevin played pivotal roles in the founding of NATO. But this isn't the party of Attlee and Bevin. This is Jeremy Corbyn's Labour. You cannot be a champion of liberalism if you are currently subject to a formal investigation by the Equality and Human Rights Commission for institutional racism against Jewish people. You cannot be a champion of liberalism when your leader's supporters think it is acceptable to abuse, vilify, and deselect anyone who dares question the leader. And you cannot claim to be liberal when the political editor of the BBC needs to take a bodyguard to your conference. And then you look at Jeremy Corbyn's foreign policy positions. Acting as an apologist for a hard-right Russian government that thinks it's okay to poison people on British soil, lauding authoritarian regimes in Venezuela and Iran, failing to support the proscription of Hezbollah as a terrorist organization. These people aren't liberals. Attlee and Bevin helped found NATO. Jeremy Corbyn and those around him want to abolish it. And of course, what unites both Johnson and Corbyn is the fact that they both want to leave the European Union, the biggest champion of liberalism in our part of the global neighborhood. In fact, to coin a phrase, Jeremy Corbyn would be intensely relaxed about Brexit. It's time for a change, and someone who I know can provide the leadership this country needs, Joe Swinson. Yeah. Under Joe's premiership, it kind of trips off the tongue, I like that. I'll say it again. Under Joe's premiership, we can build and breathe a progressive breath of fresh air into British foreign policy, I think. Liberal Democrats are internationalists. This is at the heart of who we are as a party. It flows through everything we do. We believe in tearing down walls, not building them. We believe in working together through multilateral organizations, not standing alone. And we believe that to tackle the biggest issues facing us today, from the climate emergency to terrorism, that the UK at the table achieving consensus internationally is what we need to see. Perhaps now more than ever, UK foreign policy is yearning for clear liberal democrat values. A liberal government A Liberal Democrat government would not be tied to outdated tropes or biases, but would be clear that the UK must continue to work with allies from across the world, playing a leading role in the EU and other international institutions. With Joe as our Prime Minister, we will revive our reputation on the world stage and get on with helping improve the lives of people across the world and here at home. As Liberal Democrats, we've got a duty to do this, to defend the values of human rights, democracy, and equality. And as your Liberal Democrat Shadow Foreign Secretary, I can promise you, I will do everything I can to stand up for a truly global Britain. Thank you very much, Conference. Thank you.